Chapter 19. One by one, Tim's senses came back to him. As he lay in darkness, he could feel something prodding into his ribs. He wasn't exactly being kicked, more like nudged with a foot. A familiar smell invaded his nostrils. Boiled crawfish? No, not exactly. Something not unlike it, though.
Tim! Someone said from directly above him. Tim, wake up!
Sleep felt too good. He'd just pretend he couldn't hear, just for a few more minutes.
Tim!
Came the voice from above, more insistent than last time. Nudges turned into kicks. Sleep wasn't going to be an option. Tim yawned, rubbed the sleep out of his eyes, and looked over to his right. Greeley and Shorty were cowering behind a rock, gesturing at Tim to be quiet and not give away their presence. What's going on? He looked straight up and found Julian staring down back at him. Julian nodded forward. Tim followed Julian's nod to find a pair of shiny steel boots standing in front of him. Above the boots, Tim slowly raised his head. Shiny steel shield. Shiny steel breastplate. And finally, the shiny steel gaze of Captain Righteous Justificus Blademaster. Shit. The situation came back to him all at once. He pushed himself backward with his feet and elbows.
Listen, Julian pleaded, taking a step back. I know this looks bad, but we're really not the guys you want.
That's right, said the captain patiently. I want the half-orc.
No, said Julian. You want our cavern master.
The captain paused.
Shorty?
What?
Said Julian. His eyes flickered toward Shorty's direction and back again. Shorty grimaced, but remained hidden behind the rock.
No,
said Julian. Captain Righteous snorted a condescending laugh.
Cavern Master! Did he tell you to call him that? Kind of a lofty title for that little imp. Don't worry, I'll take care of him after I take care of your lot.
No, said Julian. I wasn't talking about Shorty.
He was interrupted by what sounded like an elephant charging through a bamboo field. Cooper emerged from the trees with half a forest's worth of dead branches in his arms.
Guys,
said Cooper between pants, his face hidden behind the load he carried.
We have a problem.
No shit, said Julian.
Huh?
Said Cooper, dropping the branches.
Shit,
he said.
What's he doing here?
You!
Shouted the captain, turning to face Cooper.
At last, you will pay for your heinous crimes.
Dude,
said Cooper.
Now is really not the...
Came the muffled sound from behind the captain. He turned to face the new threat. It appeared to be a short, stout, humanoid figure with the head of a giant ant and a beard. The captain stumbled back.
What the hell is the...
Rock-a-bye baby in the treetop,
Chaz sang as he strummed his lute. The captain paused and yawned.
In the treetop? Why would a baby...
His musing was interrupted by another yawn.
When the wind blows, the cradle will rock.
Surely it's a lot more practical and a lot less dangerous to just keep the kid on the...
When the bow breaks, the cradle will fall.
That's exactly the sort of thing I'd be worried would happen.
He fell to his knees and dropped his sword on the ground.
And down will come baby, cradle and all.
What kind of parents? What kind of song?
The captain fell forward into the dirt. Julian looked at Chaz. Cooper looked at Dave.
Nice work,
they both said. Dave took off the ant head.
Just a little something a big asshole taught me.
Chaz stopped playing his lute.
You know, he's right. I never thought about how fucked up that song is.
Guys,
said Cooper.
We're in some deep shit. Where's Catherine?
Tim looked down at the captain.
If we tie him up, he won't be any threat. We might even be able to calm him down if we can get him to listen.
It's not him I'm worried about,
said Cooper. He pointed at Dave.
It's him.
Me?
Dave asked.
No,
said Cooper.
The little guy whose head you're holding. I think his friends and family are coming back to look for him.
Shit, said Julian. How many?
I don't know,
said Cooper.
I saw maybe four or five.
Hey, boys!
Shouted Catherine, running into the clearing with Butterbean following close behind.
We've got a problem.
She stopped to catch her breath and looked down at the captain.
Who's that?
Another problem, said Julian.
What's wrong?
More ants are coming, she said.
Shit,
said Julian.
How many did you see?
I don't know. A lot.
That's too many, said Dave. We have to get out of here.
Where?
Asked Cooper.
How?
Tim spoke up to the crowd circled above him.
What about the cart?
What cart?
The one we were in when we arrived here.
The one that got torn to shreds? Asked Julian impatiently.
Sure, said Tim. I mean, we ripped the cover off, but it's still got wheels, right?
Julian thought for a moment.
Hell, there was plenty of grass around there. The horses might even still be okay.
Tim sat straight up.
Hurry up, he said. Grab whatever shit you can carry. We have to get out of here now.
Cooper tore down the canvas from the bushes where he had attempted to make a shelter and spread it on the ground.
Throw all your shit on here,
he said. While everyone did that, he went over to the ant on the fire and ripped its legs off one by one. Each leg ended with a chunk of steamy white meat, and it didn't smell at all unpleasant. A din of clicking, chattering, and buzzing penetrated the clearing.
What the hell is that? Asked Julian.
Ants,
said Cooper and Catherine in unison.
Shit, seriously?
What do we do with them?
Asked Tim, looking down at the captain, getting nothing in the way of response outside of uncomfortable silence and averted glances. He explained the options as he saw them.
If we leave him here, it amounts to the same as outright murdering him. We'll have to bring him with us.
But won't he just try to kill all of us as soon as he wakes up again? Asked Dave. I mean, we've gotten lucky a couple of times. That luck is going to run out sooner or later if we keep this jerk alive.
Are you comfortable leaving him here to be eaten by ants?
Asked Tim. Dave lowered his head.
No. He'll be less of a threat without a sword, said Julian.
He picked it up and swung it around to get a feel for it. From the look on Julian's face, Tim guessed it felt pretty good. It was truly a beautiful piece of craftsmanship.
Okay, said Dave, shrugging. Should I wake him up?
Tim took a second to think. The ant noises were growing louder. Treetops swayed just beyond the perimeter of the camp.
Cooper, do you think you could carry him?
Cooper snorted.
Sure.
He brought the four corners of the canvas together and held them with one hand. With the other hand, he scooped up the sleeping captain and hefted him over his shoulder.
Want to take a ride?
Okay, said Tim.
He hopped up on top of the makeshift sack, made himself as comfortable as he could, and readied his bow.
Let's get out of here!
Julian and Dave led the way along the path Cooper had cleared on the way to the camp. Cooper took up the rear with the captain on his shoulder and a huge bag dragging behind him, with Tim riding on top of it. The ants' heads started peeking into view as soon as the party had started moving. Tim fired an arrow at one, but it went wide and hit a tree. The ant he had fired at didn't even look distracted. Several of the ants gathered near the fire, their antenna moving wildly about in the presence of their fallen, charred, and now legless brother. Chaos turned to order as a different sort of ant came onto the scene. It was bigger than the others, and the carapace was thick and spiked on the front shoulders. It had mandibles like jagged scimitars. A few clicks and a whir from this ant, and the others got into formation and began marching behind, heading straight for Tim. Cooper ran as fast as he could, but was held back by the weight of the captain and the drag of the sack. The ants were gaining ground, and Tim's arrows seemed to have little to no effect at slowing their progression. Cooper hadn't taken more than a few strides when the captain woke up and demanded to know what was going on.
Fucking hell!
Cooper shouted.
Take a look behind us!
The captain picked up his head.
Oh, shit! He said. Put me down! We'll move faster if you aren't carrying me!
Do you promise to behave yourself?
Yes, by the gods! He shouted. They're gaining on us!
How do we know we can trust you?
The captain sighed.
I swear by the sword that was passed down to me by... Hey, where's my sword?
We're keeping it safe for you,
said Cooper, in as motherly a tone of voice that his half-orc throat could muster.
You can have it back when you promise to stop trying to murder us with it.
Cooper! Tim shouted. Put 'em down, goddammit! They're right on top of us!
He fired an arrow that finally connected with the soldier ant's eye. The ant let out a scream that sounded like a lion roaring through an electronic voice synthesizer. Cooper set the captain down. Captain Righteous stared into Cooper's eyes.
This isn't over!
Fuck off,
said Cooper.
Move along before we're all ant shit.
After a few more strides, he heard the captain shout again.
Hey, wizard!
Actually, I'm more of a sorcerer now, said Julian.
Give me back my sword!
No, said Julian.
Shit!
Cooper! Tim shouted. Run faster!
The soldier ant was nearly right on top of Tim. He scooted backwards on the sack, but there wasn't much farther he could scoot. He fired another arrow, but missed the eye and bounced off the ant's shoulder.
Ow!
Tim screamed as the ice tong-like mandibles caught hold of his foot. The ant immediately stopped running, trying to pull Tim off the sack. Tim dropped his bow and held on with both hands.
Tim!
Cooper shouted.
Keep running!
Tim shouted in response. The ant not only stopped moving its legs, but also started curling its body around, as if it were trying to sit up. The pain in Tim's foot was excruciating. It felt as though the creature might actually succeed in ripping it right off. All Tim wanted to do was to cry, puke, and pass out, but he forced himself to hang on. The ant finished curling its body around, and now Tim could see why. The back of its abdomen ended in a giant stinger. A dark brown liquid oozed out from the end of it. Tim kicked frantically with his good foot, but that only ended up providing the ant with a suitable target. The stinger pierced the bottom of Tim's foot, and Tim felt the burning heat of the acidic venom flow inside him. He was too agonized to scream. His eyes and his jaw clenched shut. With all of his strength, he kicked his legs as hard as he could. It was enough to shake the ant loose. The ant rolled over, briefly halting the progress of the worker ants behind him. This would be the perfect time to finish the fucker off if he still had his bow. The soldier ant quickly got to its feet and resumed the chase.
You okay back there?
Asked Cooper. Tim looked down at the bleeding messes that used to be his feet. He choked back a sob.
Just keep running, he said. Run like a motherfucker!
Adrenaline took charge over fear and pain for the moment, and Tim grabbed the short sword from the scabbard at his side. He waited for the ant to come to him. Acid burned in his foot, and hatred for insects burned in his brain. He waited.
Come on, you big motherfucker!
Tim shouted.
There's plenty more of me left! Come and get it!
That was a lie. This was the second time he'd had his feet mutilated by an oversized animal. There was not, in fact, much more of him left. He was probably down to a single hit point. He was barely holding on to consciousness. The soldier ant moved in for the kill. Tim held onto the sack with one hand and held his sword in the other, his vision blurred with tears and sweat. Tim looked into one huge remaining functional eye of his attacker. He saw neither pity nor malice, no cunning plan of attack, no sense of self-preservation, just a target, a mission, and a robot-like determination to carry it through. When it was close enough, it opened its mandibles wide. If it closed them again, Tim would be dead. Tim also lacked any plan more complicated than kill ant. His sense of self-preservation was bleeding out of his feet. He brought a short sword down as hard as he could and sliced the ant's face in half. Dark red blood, hot and sticky, spattered all over Tim's face. The soldier ant's jaws let go of Tim, and it collapsed to the ground. The workers who had been following it huddled around, chittering confusedly for lack of clear orders. Tim's adrenaline rush subsided, and the pain returned. He lost his hold on the sack, slid off onto the ground, and threw up. He tried to push himself up with his arms, but as soon as he put any pressure on his feet, he screamed and collapsed face first into his own puke.
Shit!
Said Cooper as he stopped running. The next thing Tim knew, Cooper was kneeling over him.
Looks like you took one of those fuckers down,
he said.
Good job.
He picked up Tim's short sword and carefully placed it back in its scabbard as if he were playing with a doll.
Cooper!
Tim wheezed. The pain in his right foot was excruciating, but the pain in his left foot, where he'd gotten stung, was worst of all. It had started to make its way up his leg.
You've got to get out of here! Take care of Catherine!
Come on, big guy,
said Cooper.
Dave'll fix you right up. Good as new.
Cooper picked him up and tucked him under his arm like a football. The smell was so atrocious that it temporarily distracted Tim from the pain in his feet. Tim coughed up some more vomit. It ran down Cooper's arm and dripped off his elbow, but Cooper didn't even seem to notice. The ants quieted down until only one of them could be heard. It might have been just Tim's imagination, but he had the distinct impression that the clicks and buzzes he was now hearing were new orders. Cooper grabbed the corners of his sack and resumed his retreat. Just as Tim had feared, the ants seemed to be getting organized again. They parted from the path, and another soldier ant stepped into the commanding position.
Fuck,
said Cooper, taking a peek behind as he ran. The trees were thinning out, and the path was getting grassier. They were nearly out of the woods, but only in the literal sense.
"I see the wagon!" Julian shouted, somewhere ahead of them.
After another few seconds, Tim could hear other familiar voices.
"Greeley!" shouted Dave. "Go wait in the wagon!"
Then came the captain's voice, nearer than Dave's had been.
"You have your magic!" he said. "Don't make me go into battle with no weapon!"
"No way!" said Julian. "You're just gonna have to sit this one out, Captain. If you want to come with us, you can go wait in the wagon."
"But if you're going to fight all of those ants, you'll need my help."
"Fight them?" said Julian. "If we wanted to fight them, we would have stayed where we were. We're going to get the hell out of here."
"And how do you propose to do that?"
the captain argued.
"Bandits have made off with the—"
He stopped and then spoke up again.
"Oh, right."
Now that the trees had thinned out, Cooper was making much better time. The ants were still a healthy distance away, but they were gaining ground just the same. Tim heard his sister's voice.
"Where's Tim?"
"He's with Cooper,"
Julian shouted back at her.
"They ought to be coming out any time now."
And then Tim felt the light of the sun on his face. He looked up and saw that they had cleared the last remaining trees of the forest. He saw his friends up ahead. He saw his sister. He saw Shorty and Greeley scrambling into the back of the horseless wagon. Then he turned his head to look back in the direction they had come from. He saw ants, dozens of them, maybe hundreds. They crawled out from between the trees all along the perimeter of the forest.
"Dave!"
Cooper shouted.
"What?"
Dave called back. Tim looked ahead. Dave's face was as gray as ash.
"Get over here! Tim's hurt! He's hurt bad!"
"Tim!"
Catherine shouted, running towards Cooper. Julian ran after her, and Dave followed in behind him. They reached Cooper a few seconds later. The soldier ant in the lead was already tearing a hole in the sack.
"Take Tim!"
Cooper shouted. Before Tim had time to register what was happening, he was wrapped in one of Cooper's enormous hands. A second later, he was sailing through the air. He thought of his feet. Landing is going to hurt. Landing did hurt, though not half as bad as Tim had expected. Julian caught him and placed him gently on the ground in front of Dave. Catherine gasped.
"What happened to his feet?"
"He'll be okay,"
said Julian, without much conviction in his voice.
"Dave, can you fix him?"
"I'll do what I can," said Dave.
"What about Cooper?"
Tim asked. Cooper was facing the approaching ants. He drew his great axe. Without the trees to limit the ants into a single line, they began to spread out. A worker ant crawled up next to the soldier ant nearest Cooper. The soldier ant climbed up onto the sack and looked down at him.
"I'm really angry,"
Cooper declared, and swung his axe down at the soldier ant's head. The blade cleaved straight through the head and lodged into the head of the worker ant, killing the former and severely wounding the latter. The worker ant made a half-hearted attempt to bite Cooper, but failed. Catherine's wolf rushed up and finished the job by tearing a leg off.
"I heal thee!"
Tim heard Dave shout above him and felt the palm of a hand touch his forehead. Tim opened his eyes wide, sucking in so much air that it seemed he should have expanded to twice his size. He looked down at his feet. They had already stopped bleeding, but were still torn and misshapen. Tim moaned, half in ecstasy and half still in pain.
"Are you okay?"
asked Catherine.
"No,"
Tim groaned.
"Let me try again," said Dave.
"Hurry it up, guys,"
Cooper shouted, bringing his axe down on another ant. Tim looked back. The workers were starting to surround Cooper, and there looked to be no end of them coming out from the trees. He even spotted a few more soldiers hurriedly making their way through the workers toward him.
"I heal thee,"
Dave shouted, laying his hand on Tim's forehead again. Relief hit Tim like a wave smashing against a rocky shore.
"Oh my fucking God, that feels good,"
Tim shouted. He jumped to his feet and stomped on the ground.
"You know, it's worth having your feet gnawed off by ants just to be healed like that."
"You're about to get another chance,"
said Cooper, backing up.
"Is everyone okay now?"
"I'm good," said Tim.
"Let's get the fuck out of here,"
said Cooper, holding two ants at bay with his axe. Julian, Dave, Catherine, and her wolf started running toward the wagon.
"Come on,"
Tim shouted at Cooper. Cooper swatted an ant off the top of the sack with the flat of his axe, grabbed the corner of the canvas, and shouted at Tim,
"Run!"
Tim and Cooper raced toward the wagon with a swarm of giant ants in tow. Cooper soon overtook Tim and plucked him up off the ground, with his legs still flailing in the air, and slung him over one shoulder. Tim could hear the half-orc grunt as he ran. He wasn't dragging the sack behind him anymore. He was carrying it up off the ground in his right hand. The rage, Tim thought. He's even stronger now. He looked up. Giant ants were still pouring out of the woods.
Everybody in the wagon!
Shouted Cooper when he got within 30 yards of the wagon. His raging sprint had put some distance between them and the ants, but it wouldn't be long before the ants closed the gap.
Can we all even fit in there? Asked Dave.
Cooper had reached the rest of the party by that point and answered Dave's question by picking him up and throwing him into the wagon. He tossed the sack unceremoniously on top of Dave and then set Tim gently down.
I don't get it,
Catherine said to Julian at the front of the wagon.
Where are we supposed to get horses? Let me take care of that, said Julian. Can you ride? How the fuck would I know how to ride a... Oh, wait. Come to think of it, yes, I can. Cool, said Julian. Then you ride up front with me.
Ride what? Asked Catherine.
Horse!
Julian shouted at the empty air. A brown horse appeared in front of him, complete with bit, bridle, and saddle.
Nice, said Catherine. But won't it disappear after a few seconds? I mean, that's what happens when I magic up a wolf.
Nah, said Julian. This spell lasts a good 2 hours. He turned away from her.
Horse,
he said again. A second horse appeared. This one was black, with patches of white spots here and there, but similarly equipped. The horses remained perfectly still while Julian hitched them to the wagon. Tim stared in fascination. Horses, saddled and bridled, just appearing out of thin air like that. For such a mundane, often overlooked spell in the game, it was really something to witness firsthand. He watched Julian and Catherine mount their mounts, and then his enchantment was interrupted. Someone lifted him off the floor.
Sorry, little dude, said Chaz. We're going to have to sit on each other's laps until we get clear of those ants.
Tim looked around. Shorty sat on Greeley's lap across from him and Chaz. Dave sat alone next to Chaz, being too heavy to sit on anyone else's lap and not having much in the way of a lap himself. Across from Dave sat Captain Righteous. Cooper stood behind the wagon, brandishing his axe at the first line of ants, who were now only yards away. Tim wondered what was going to happen if he attempted to sit on the captain's lap.
Julian!
Cooper shouted.
Please tell me you're ready to go!
We're all set!
Julian shouted back.
Hop in!
Cooper swung his axe down and caught a soldier ant in the head with the flat of his axe on the upswing. 6 feet of ant backflipped into the air, leaving the workers under its command without instruction. Tim's worries about the captain's lap proved to be unfounded. Cooper chose to sit on the floor of the wagon with his feet hanging off the back.
Go!
He shouted.
Go, horse!
Julian commanded, and the wagon lurched forward. Cooper turned his head toward Dave. He didn't even need to look up. He raised an empty clawed hand.
Crossbow.
Dave kicked around some of the spilled equipment from the canvas sack until he found 2 crossbows. He handed one to Cooper and loaded a bolt into the one he kept for himself. No one objected when Captain Righteous grabbed a bow for himself, but Cooper paused long enough to give him a look with his enraged, swollen red eyes that expressed in no uncertain terms what the penalty would be for turning said bow on anyone inside the wagon. The three of them fended off the ants until the wagon got up to a speed that the ants were unable to keep up with.
I'll be having that back now,
said Cooper, when they were safely far away enough from the ants. His rage had subsided, but Captain Righteous was still in no position to argue. He handed Cooper the crossbow. Cooper tossed it over his shoulder into the pile of miscellaneous equipment. It landed on something with a clank that made the captain turn his head. From beneath the canvas shone the corner of something large and flat.
Is that my shield? Asked Captain Righteous.
Huh?
Said Cooper. He craned his neck around to look behind him.
Oh, yeah. I picked it up when you fell asleep.
The captain's face brightened for the first time since any of the party had met the man.
Thank the gods!
You can owe me one,
said Cooper.
What is that sticking out from under it? What sort of provisions do you people travel with?
Asked Captain Righteous. He reached down, but Dave kicked at his hand.
Hey, said Dave. Mind your hands. No one gave you permission to root around in our shit.
What is that?
Ant leg,
said Cooper, grabbing it for himself.
God, I'm starving.
He took a bite.
Oh my god, it's fucking heavenly.
Really? Asked Tim.
Try it,
said Cooper. He passed the leg back to Tim. It was still warm. Tim took a bite from the fleshy end at the top, where the leg had once connected to the ant's body. The taste wasn't entirely unlike that of boiled crawfish, but the texture was off. Ant meat was a lot chewier. Though they hadn't prepared it with any seasoning, it had a natural spiciness to it.
Shit, he's right! Who knew ant tasted this good?
Cooper grabbed a second ant leg, stood up and bit off another chunk of meat. He shouted out to the few remaining ants he could still see.
Thanks for the meal, fuckers!
The rest of the group devoured the ant meat and passed some of it along to Catherine and Julian. Tim wondered, if he ever got home and was able to bring some giant ants with him, if they could be farmed, this meat would bring in a whole lot more customers than the Chicken Hut was bringing in. The only person who didn't seem to be enjoying the feast was Captain Righteous.
You know, of course, said the captain, that the ants who just attacked us were following the scent of their fallen comrade.
No shit, said Dave through a mouthful of ant. That's good information to know for the future.
Still, said Tim, I think it was worth it for this meat.
Cooper let out a huge belch directed at Captain Righteous.
You, sir, are a truly disgusting...
The captain paused. His face became pale and gravely serious. Those of the group who had been laughing now stopped and followed his gaze down to the floor of the wagon, where a severed head looked back up at them.
You are all animals, said the captain. And when I take back my sword that you have stolen from me, I will slaughter you all like the rabid beasts that you are.
Yes, said Tim in his most businesslike tone of voice. But until then, do you think you'd be open to at least listening to an explanation?
Plead for your lives if you like, cowering worms. It will make no difference. I will personally make sure that each of your heads rolls around on the floor of some cart.
Okay, good, said Tim. Hey, Chaz, you're a bard. You've probably got the highest charisma score of any of us. Maybe you should take this one.
Chaz started.
Me? Take what?
Just explain about the head.
That shit all happened before I got here, said Chaz. I've got no more idea than him. Why you guys are traveling around with a dude's head in your bag?
Oh, yeah.
Tim thought for a moment. He wasn't going to be able to sell this story. Not on this guy. Not unless Mordred started talking through the head in his presence, and there didn't seem much chance of Mordred being cooperative. He decided to go with an entirely different approach.
We outnumber you 8-1, he continued. We are armed, you are not. We've had many opportunities to kill you, and yet here you sit among us. We could kill you right now, but we don't. We aren't murderers.
And yet my comrade's head rolls around on the floor of your stolen wagon.
There's an explanation for that.
Oh, I'm sure it's a good one.
It's a long story.
It's a long ride to Cardinia, said the captain. Please feel free to pass the time entertaining me with your lies.
Cardinia? Asked Tim. Is that where we're going?
The captain eyed Tim suspiciously.
Unless you know of a different city that this road leads to.
Dave spoke up.
What kind of place is Cardinia?
What?
Asked the captain. He looked around as if waiting for a punchline, but everyone continued to stare back at him expectantly.
How is it that you don't know of Cardinia?
We're not from around here, said Tim.
I was informed that you were traveling from that direction when you attacked.
He looked down at the head on the floor.
Put that in a bag, would you, Cooper? Said Tim.
Oh, right,
said Cooper. He put the head in his bag.
Sorry about that. Go on.
Captain Righteous stared at the half-orc in confused disgust.
So it's a big city, then, is it?
Asked Tim, hoping to bring the captain's attention back to him.
Huh?
Said the captain, turning back to Tim.
Oh, yes. Is it a big city? It's only the second biggest city in the entire realm.
He looked around in astonishment at all the faces looking back at him, obviously thirsty for information that should be common knowledge.
How is it that none of you have heard of Cardinia? Her port serves as a trading hub for ships from all over Dalgar.
And Dalgar, Tim continued. I'm sorry. This is going to sound like a stupid question, but since you already don't have a very high opinion of us, what the hell? Is Dalgar the name of this realm, or is it
Dalgar's the name of the world, exclaimed the captain. Where are you people from?
Not from Dalgar,
said Cooper.
Our planet is called Earth, said Tim.
Your planet? Said the captain. There isn't a planet in the heavens called Earth. Do you mean to say you descended here from the stars? You're all mad.
Yeah, said Tim. I figured you'd think that. So, anyway, if this Gardenia is a worldwide trading port, it should be pretty big. Maybe we can find some information there.
Information about what?
Asked Chaz. About getting home.
Mordred was pretty clear about that not being a possibility, said Dave. But he said there are dozens of other people he sent here. We might run into some of them.
I'll settle for finding some booze and smokes first,
said Cooper.
This town ought to have some decent taverns.
All you're going to find in Cardinia, said the captain, is a swift end to your worthless lives.
There followed an uncomfortable silence. Tim cleared his throat.
So, how long a ride is it to Cardinia?
Captain Righteous sighed.
At this pace, we should be there before nightfall.